Oh, the kids. Thank you, Craig and Janet. All the kids. It's lovely to hear those little noises, isn't it, everyone? To hear some children in the house. Wonderful. Good. All right. Well, they're getting sorted and signing in. Okay, so today's story, well, Easter really is about new beginnings, new possibilities, that out of death, life can emerge. That's the Easter story. Out of death, new life will emerge. This is a day of celebration, not just because Jesus was dead and then raised to life, but because we have been given the opportunity to have new life as well. Not just someday when we die, but today, new life is available to all of us. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, if there's no resurrection, then our preaching is useless. We wouldn't be here. In other words, all of this makes no difference. But then he goes a step further and he says, not only is our preaching useless, but so is your faith. But we believe, don't we, in resurrection, and that should be the very core of the Christian's identity. As Christians, our faith should be that we see new life come from dead places, and that is what we are celebrating together this morning. Not only the resurrection of Jesus, but his resurrection also means our resurrection. So, in the New Testament, I'm going to be reading from a few scriptures from John chapter 11. I'm not going to put the scriptures up, I'm just going to tell you the story today. But if you want to read the whole story, it's in John chapter 11. Now, John was a disciple of Jesus. We were talking about John at Bible study. He often referred to himself as the one that Jesus loved. But John wrote one of four of the accounts of the Gospels. And we're going to look at his story about a man named Lazarus. Now, Lazarus was another friend of Jesus, and Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha, and they lived in a little village town called Bethany, which was about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. So whenever Jesus would come through Jerusalem on his ministry tours or wherever he was going, he would often stay at their house as a guest, and they would share meals together and hang out, and they were all very close. Other versions of that story will say that... Hang on, I jumped somewhere. Here we go. Sorry. But as the story goes, Lazarus became very sick. Sick to the point of death. And so Mary and Martha, they sent out for Jesus to look for him, to tell him. But they couldn't find him. He was not around. He was away in another part of the area. They sent messages to find Jesus to tell him what was happening. They finally found him after about a 4-day journey to reach him. And they said, Lord, Lazarus, the one that you love, is very ill and he might not make it. Now, Jesus' response was not exactly what we would expect to hear. He said this in verse 4 of John 11. He says, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. But Lazarus actually died. So why did Jesus say this? Is he just making some kind of a faith statement? Other versions of that say that sickness will not end in death. In other words, Jesus was saying that death won't get the last word here, I will. That's what he's saying. He never promised that Lazarus wouldn't die. He said this sickness will not lead to death. And we're going to work that out in a minute. And this is something that we all need to know about following Jesus. Jesus will never lead you to death, but sometimes he will lead us through it. He will never lead you to a dead end place where there is no way out, no way forward. He always makes a way when we think there is no way. You see, Jesus wanted to do something significant in the life of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, but they were going to have to pass through this. Sometimes we don't get our instant healing or our instant whatever, but we go through it to see the victory, don't we? So in the next verse, John writes here, John's telling us that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So we know because John's telling us that he loved them, okay? And he's reminding us of this fact because in the next verse it actually says, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed an extra 2 days in this place. That, again, isn't what we would expect to hear. So when you read that, that comes across a little strange because we've just heard how much Jesus loves Lazarus and Mary and Martha. So why would he not rush back? If I got a call from someone that I loved to say that they were sick to the point of death, I'm pretty sure I'd rush back, wouldn't you? But Jesus doesn't do that. And over, we see that he did things differently to how we would think and how what we would expect. You see, he has an infinitely bigger picture than we do. And out of love, he stays 2 extra days because he wants to do something more significant. You see, they were looking for resuscitation, but Jesus wanted to give resurrection. Jesus will never lead you to death, but he might lead you through it. Because there are some things in our life that need to die. You see, resurrection requires death. Think about it. You can't experience a resurrection until you're first willing to die to self. And a bit like Lazarus, who was holding on to life, Jesus may be waiting a couple more days until we finally come to the end of ourselves, to where we're willing to let go of our pride, because that's often what stops us, is our pride. And when we're finally willing to get real and say, okay, I've got nowhere else to turn, but I turn to Jesus. Maybe there's a relationship you need to let go of, or maybe there's just some thinking that you need to let go of. Patterns, habits, some secrets, just some parts of your life that may need to die so that you too can experience resurrection. I know there's people in this room that could pick up a microphone and tell you that their resurrection day came when they got to the end of themselves, when those things in them died. In other words, you come to the knowledge of God. Or even a death situation. We've often had a call and it's been a crisis call, a death situation, bad news. But you know, something new can come from that too. That's how I look at things. When I get a call or when I get a message to say this is happening, I think, how can you work through this? I know you're going to work through this. And I go into fight mode for that situation. But some people just hold on to life where they don't want others to know what's going on in their life, hanging on to our dignity sometimes. But if we keep holding on to that little bit of life that we have, we will not experience the resurrection power of Jesus in our life. And I'm not saying everyone needs to know your business. It's not about that. But there are some things that God doesn't want hidden in us. He wants them out in the open, so then he begins to work. And I can tell you some statements based on true stories. These are not my statements. Sometimes I've heard people say, my resurrection began when the day I got real about my addiction to pills or whatever. My resurrection began the day that my spouse found out I was having an affair. My resurrection began the day I acknowledged that I had a problem with pornography, etc., etc. We can all put our situations there, and they seem like some really hard ones, but you know, things are real in church too. Things are real. These things happen in church, and God wants us to be free of them and for these things to die in our life. But are we willing to experience and walk through death so that you can have and experience the resurrection power? Everyone has their own confession, but let's be real. Have you ever been there with God and you'd be a little bit miffed? Hang on, sorry, I keep jumping ahead. So let's continue with the story. 6 days later, Jesus shows up in Bethany. And when Martha hears that Jesus is in the neighbourhood, she goes running out to meet him. And she comes out with a bit of an attitude, a bit frustrated. And I sort of think, yep, I think I would be too. It's like, where have you been, Jesus? And, you know, we've all often been there, haven't we? We're praying and we're praying and we're believing. But God hasn't responded to us in the way that we would think he should or wished he would have. So she comes up to Jesus and in verse 21 she says, Lord, if you'd been there, my brother would not have died. Putting the guilt trip on Jesus. She's angry, but she's trying to be respectful here. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? You know that God can take our prayers like that. He can handle our frustration. He can handle your questions, even your anger. Just be real with God. But Jesus looks at Martha and he says, Martha, don't you realise that your brother will rise again? And Martha responds in a way which we would probably all respond. He says to her, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. That's what she says, actually. And she's like, well, I know that. I know that one day we're all going to rise. And that's what we would say too. We know about that stuff. We know about eternity. We know when we die we're going to go to heaven. We know they're in a better place. But that doesn't change the fact I'm suffering now. That would have been Mary. And there are people that aren't in the room today because they think they already know the story. They think they already know, yes, I know that story. Jesus died. I've heard all about Easter. I've heard it a million times. I know he was resurrected, you know, for the forgiveness of sins and all that stuff. But so what? Because I'm suffering now. And Jesus turns to Martha and he says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. What is he saying? He's saying, what you don't understand is the resurrection is not some future event. It's not some future probability. It's a present reality. Because he says, Martha, I am the resurrection. And whenever I am there, things grow and new life begins to happen. And that's what he does in us. This is the idea. When we get close to Jesus, we give him access. A new life starts to happen in dead places, in the dry places, and in the very painful places of our hearts and our lives that we've closed off. New life and resurrection power begins to grow and emerge, and amazing things can happen. But it's not when we die, it's for us now that we would have life and live it abundantly. The promise of the resurrection is not somehow that we are going to get the glory days and go back to what everything was good back then. You know, when our marriage was good and relationships were good, money was well, you know, all the things we wanted. And somehow resurrection is a promise that we're going back to all that. But resurrection is not the promise that you can get back everything that you've lost. It's a promise that in the ashes, out of the broken places, that new life will come. It might not be the same. It could be better. Think about this. Jesus today, 2,000 years post the crucifixion and the resurrection, do you know where he is now? He is seated at the right hand of God, the Father in heaven. But if you got up close to him, you would still see the nail holes in his hands and in his feet. And you would still see the scars on his head where they pulled the crown on his face. He still carries the scars of the crucifixion. So the resurrection didn't make all that go away. And just like with us, we have scars sometimes. But they can turn beautiful because we can encourage someone else that has been through the same sort of thing as us. You see, resurrection makes the crucifixion beautiful. It makes the scars beautiful. And that's what Jesus can do in your life. He can turn the broken places, the ugliest places of your life, and he can turn them into something beautiful. The scars don't go away. Our memories don't forget those things. He just changes the nature of them. And so you can say, well, that was my story, and that's who I am. That's the platform I'm standing on.
the testimony of what Jesus has done in my life. You see, we all used to live for ourselves. I know I did, with a bit of Jesus thrown in. But I have seen and I have experienced his resurrection power. But I died. I died. My old self is dead because I laid some of those things down and let Jesus work in the dead places. And out of that, new life emerged by the grace of God. He did it for me and he will do it for you. You can change. I'm living proof of it. You become different and it's called the resurrection power. So when you look at the dead places in your life or the things that are so broken that you have no idea how to put the pieces back together again, you know that dream that is lost and forgotten. But when you examine the dead places in your life and that wound that hurts so much because of the abuse that you suffered, that you would rather not talk about, when you think of those places, do you really believe that resurrection life is possible? Well, it is. And that's what Jesus was saying to Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe it? So Jesus said to Martha, take me to where he is laying. And as he approaches the tomb where Lazarus had been buried and he was lying in, we get another interesting verse. It says, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Why was he troubled? This means that Jesus was actually looking at death in the eye. You see, for Jesus, death was an enemy. Death was a curse that came on the earth when sin entered through Adam. And Jesus is showing up here to defeat death, to put it in its place once and for all. And so he says to Mary and to Martha, roll the stone away. And Martha responds by saying, well, Lord, he's been dead 4 days now. And by this time, there was an odour. And in the King James, it said, he stinketh. And sometimes our life has parts of it that might stinketh. Things that we hide behind the stone, secrets that we've kept, struggles that we're trying to deal with, all by yourself. Parts of you that are ugly and they might not smell so good. And you'd just rather no one go in there, not even Jesus. Stay out, Lord. It's too hard. I don't think I can deal with that. I know I can't face the pain or the truth. But Jesus is saying, roll the stone away and give me access. He does not want to embarrass us or humiliate us in front of the world. He wants to resurrect us. And the only way that that's possible is if we give him access. In Revelations in the Bible, it tells us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He just wants to come in. He just wants to be invited in. Because he is the resurrection and the life. And where he goes, new life goes. You can have new life, but you have to give him access. And I know in the room today, we all believe in Jesus. But have we given him access to every area of our life? In order to experience this resurrection, we need to be willing to roll away the stone and give him access to the dead places and the painful places. And the parts of him that you'd rather him not see, but he knows about them anyway. So they roll away the stone, and then Jesus cries out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth, come out of the tomb. And sure enough, the dead man begins to move, and new life fills his body, and he begins to emerge resurrected. And it can happen to you. Especially when it's seen that it's too late. Well, that's too late. My marriage is over. We've split. Well, that's too late. I've gone too far down that track. It's never too late. It's never too late. Miracles can happen, and I know they can, because when I thought things were too late, That's when God showed his resurrection power, and it's greater because some things have to die for him to have new life. So new life comes from dead places. Don't ever think it's too late. I'm too old. I could never do that now. No. If Easter means anything, it means that the good news is Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever, and he's still the resurrection and the life. But will you trust him? Will you believe in him? Will you give him access? I love to watch, there's nothing on TV much these days, I love to watch channels where they restore old homes and restore old furniture. And I get amazed when these masters of flip take things that have no value and are broken and old and no one wants them. Slowly but surely, they clean off the dust, get off the rust, and they return them to their original purpose. They resurrect them. As just as in the hands of our Master, our life can be resurrected. I can't do it, but Jesus can. So will you trust him? And will you surrender? Will you roll away the stone? And will you give him access? I can't think of a better day than Resurrection Sunday to surrender your life to Jesus, because he's here and he's waiting and he's knocking on some hearts today. And so, as we just take a moment, let's just close our eyes and take a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, you know what's in each person's heart. And you are saying today, roll away that stone. Open that wound, because I want to bring healing. I want to bring resurrection power to you. So, Father, these are your people, and I thank you that your Holy Spirit has gone and done more than I could ever do in my words, because you are working and you are moving in your people. I thank you, Father, that you convict us of our sin and that you bring us toward repentance, because only you can do that too. And I pray that people would recognize your knocking and give us the humility and the boldness to respond. So there's an invitation here today. If you need some resurrection power, during these next few songs, I would invite you to come out and have some prayer. Or if you just want to praise and give God mighty thanks for what he's already done in your life, come and just kneel at the altar. Praise him, because he is life. He is life. And I know, because he's done it in me. And I would not have ever imagined what he's done. But he fixed those dead places in my life. And we've always got to have to work on our life. It's never finished. So God, right now, would you move among your people? As we sing these songs and finish, just be open. Do not